Week in Property, we left off with talking about the different rights in this bundle of sticks that we have, and we started talking about the right to transfer. Well, we're moving on today to the right to exclude, and what I mean by that is this right specifically refers to the property owner's exclusive right to use of the property. And in other words, anyone but the owner is excluded from using the property. Unless if, of course, they're privileged in some way, either through consent or through necessity. And we talked about those in previous cases in last semester with in torts and things like that in criminal, the different privileges that people have to do something. But those are ultimately far and few in between when we're talking about the rights to exclude. When we're talking about the bundle of sticks, the Supreme Court has actually also said that this is probably one of the most important of the rights that are in this bundle of sticks. And additionally, we've talked about some of the ways that the courts have tried to enforce some of the rights, and specifically, we've talked about ejectment in the past. And now we're talking about torts, and specifically the tort of trespass and finding a cause of action through that. And we get that through Jack versus Steinberg Homes Inc. And what happened here is that a person had purchased a mobile home from Steinberg Homes, and it was snowy, and Steinberg Homes went to deliver it, and they found that it was very difficult to deliver underneath a normal road, and so they requested the Jacks that they would be able to pass through their property to make delivery easier. And the Jacks refused, saying, no, you can't go through my property. They had some issues with property in the past. They had lost things about property. And so they were really just not having it. And so Steinberg's like, okay, whatever. Well, we'll pay you. And the Jacks are like, nope. And Steinberg's like, fine. So they ended up going and passing through the property anyways. And so the courts here are trying to discover whether or not the Steinberg should have passed through that property. And the court found, the trial court found for the Jacks, was saying there was only $1 of nominal damages and $0 of compensatory damages, but there was $100,000 in punitive damage. And Steinberg here is saying, well, can we actually have punitive damages if there is no harm to the property? Because all they had done was plowed the snow, move it aside, and then transport it across and transport it back. They hadn't left any damage to the property. So what we end up learning from this case, we have a few takeaways, but people generally have a right to exclude others from using their property. If people trust in your property, they've committed a tort, even if there is no harm done to the property. So even if you don't have this apparent harm, there is an actual harm, and it's committed both to society in the sense of you want to protect property, and both to the individual, the fear of not being able to maintain property the way that you want to have your property to maintain. So even though there is no apparent harm, because there is this actual harm, we can still award nominative and punitive damages. Nominative damages are just saying, it's really just a stylistic formality, but it's the punitive damages that we're really concerned with here. Most of the time, with torts, you need to have compensatory damages to actually award punitive damages. But here, trespass of property is different, and there are three purposes of awarding punitive damages in this case. It's first, you want to deter people from trespassing. Second, you want to provide a consequence for those who did trespass. And third, you want to protect the legal property system, because if you just allow people to trespass and the court doesn't enforce it, well, then people are just going to trespass. They don't even care. And that right to exclusivity would end up going away. But we contrast this case with a different case in State versus Shack. And what happened here is that a lot of, In Virginia, there was a lot of migrants who would travel to Virginia during the farming seasons to work. And as part of their compensation, they were allowed to stay on the property in housing provided by the farmers. Unfortunately, the housing conditions are pretty terrible. So much so that There were just a lot of issues with the housing property, and to the extent where the federal government actually passed a law to protect these individuals in these housing areas. And the reason why it was such an issue is because nobody could get in to actually see what was going on. The press couldn't go in, attorneys couldn't go in, medical experts couldn't go in, and so they passed this law to care for these individuals. And so a couple of these people who had received funding from this law, one was a medical expert and another was an illegal expert, was a legal expert, ended up going to the property of this farmer. And farmer met them before they reached the housing units and saying, what are you doing here? And they said, well, we're here to take care of medical and legal needs of some of these migrants. And the farmer's like, all right, I'll go get them for you, but you have to do this in my company and in my home. I can't let you do this in view of of the rest of the residency. And obviously they were like, no, we can't do that. There's patient confidentiality and all this kind of stuff. They've got a right to privacy too. So they were told to leave, and they refused to leave, and the farmer called a sheriff who ended up eventually kicking them off the property and filing criminal charges against these individuals too. So what we're seeing here is there's this conflict of interest here. You've got the farmer who has the right to his property, but you also have the migrants who've got human rights as well. And does one trump the other in the sense of, do the migrants take away the property rights of the owner just because they're living there and housing is provided for them? Or does the landowner end up trumping the rights of the migrants where it's on his property, he gets to do whatever he wants on his property? And the court comes to a resolution where they try and find a balance. First of all, the purpose of the statute was to allow people to come onto the property. And so by having the trespass statute that they had ended up breaking, they did not exceed the scope of that trespass statute, considering that their roles were to be there for medical and legal reasons. With that said, the landowner still has rights to the property. First, he can ask people to identify themselves and to state their purpose. And if those aren't in accordance with what the federal statute said to protect migrants, well, then they have to leave the property if he requests them to leave. And so, for example, solicitors and peddlers can't come onto the property, but medical experts funded by this and legal experts did have privilege to the property and privacy within the residents of the migrants living there. You can think of it almost as if like a landlord and a tenant, but the court didn't go as far as to establish that in this case. So a big takeaway from these cases is right to exclusivity is generally the people, landowners or property owners generally have a right to exclude others from entering their property. But that right is not entirely absolute. If there are other human rights or other interests that are significant, then those could override the property owner's authority. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials. And the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.